Well, good morning and happy Sunday, Redeemed Church, and a very happy Mother's Day to all the ladies. God bless you. We love you. Thanks so much for joining us again for another internet-only service here at Redeemed Church. Praise God. Oh, we always love to start off with some wonderful praise reports and be checking your email like you always do, because we are sending out praise reports. They just keep coming in. People receiving the financial favor, the blessings of God. One thing that jumps out today, our first radio broadcast is broadcasting this morning. So hallelujah. May the Lord bless it. Church, we are just feeling so stirred to keep reaching and sharing the love of God with people. I woke up earlier this week with the phrase, church without walls, in my spirit. So hallelujah. Isn't that what Jesus is doing? He's reaching out beyond the walls of the church and sharing the love of God with the world. And it's so wonderful that he's using, you know, ordinary people like us to do it. And that includes you too. And we're just so grateful that you're taking time to join us today. And let's begin, like we always do, with our statement of faith. With a nice loud voice, ready, begin. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I walk by faith and not by sight. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, walking in faith and victory. I'm called, anointed, and chosen, favored, blessed, and loved. I'm the head and not the tail, not beneath, but above. I'm a child of God, and God loves me. Tell somebody in your house or post or text, email, whatever you do, that God loves you to somebody, and everything's going to be all right. Let's worship the Lord together.
Your name, Lord, I worship you. I need. Let your glory fill my life.
Praise, praise, praise the Lord. Just lift your hands, church, and welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit right there into your house, into your car, wherever you are. Praise the Lord. He is everywhere. Amen. Somebody just say, thank you, Jesus. I praise you. I thank you. I welcome you into my house. Thank you for healing my body. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for prospering me financially. I receive your blessing in every area of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Well, awesome. Just that we're able to continue to meet like this in this time that we're in. And this time, again, church, will not last forever. I believe it won't even last much longer. Hallelujah. But we're going to, in a moment, we're going to receive our offering. You know, that one verse that jumps out at me is, you know, part of last week's message from Luke chapter 5, verse 4. When Jesus had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Hallelujah. Don't you love Jesus? Sometimes what he asks us to do isn't exactly what would make sense to our minds, but don't we? We just got to step out in faith and do what he's asking us to do, and we'll get the supernatural results. Amen? Don't you love how God puts his super on our natural? Hallelujah. And I'm going to share in just a moment, we have a, speaking of supernatural, we had a supernatural connection this week with Brother Randy and Sister Louie Mishler in Mexico. We contacted each other by Facebook and had a video Facebook prayer together, and I recorded a portion of it to share with you because it concerns our church. And so just wanted to play that for you while we're receiving the offering this morning. So be blessed as we agree together. Now remember, there's no time and space in the Spirit. So be praying in the Holy Ghost right now, right along with Brother Randy and Sister Louie Mishler out of Mexico. Praise God. And if you're sending tithes or offerings this week, remember you can mail it to us at P.O. Box 1248, Washougal, Washington 98671. Somebody just say this out loud. I believe, I receive the blessing of God on my finances today. Angels of God, go. Bring in my harvest from the north, south, east, and west. And I'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray with Brother Randy and Sister Lou.
All right, let's pray. Jesus, Holy Spirit, we just thank you that we can be together right now via this technology. Lord, the four of us just gathered here in your presence. Lord, you're here right now. We're so grateful. We're so grateful that your kingdom is advancing. Lord, it seems like everybody's pulling back and retreating, and you are advancing, and faith is rising up. And Lord, you're so good, and you're so faithful. And I just, we just want to ask right now that this time of prayer, that you would speak to us, you would lead us, you would guide us, you would give us ears to hear. Lord, don't let us pray small man prayers, but let us pray big God prayers and asking largely, God, because you are such a big God. And I just thank you. I want to thank you for Pastor Steve and Shelley and Redeemed Church. Father, the blessing that they've been to us as friends, as a church, as a prayer support, the financial support, we're so grateful for them. And we're grateful to hear of a good report today. And Lord, we just want to ask for them. We just want to ask that you would abundantly bless them in every way as they have sown abundantly in many ways. Lord, that you would let them just reap abundantly in many ways. The knowledge and the wisdom that we need to be going after, the kind of wisdom and the knowledge they need to lead their church, to start a radio program, to do these devotionals. Father, that they would know the times and the seasons, and God, that they would be able to communicate that with the rest of the people, Lord, that they would be able to build up the church. They would be able to build up even strangers or people they haven't heard from for years that maybe would listen, tune into the radio into a Facebook broadcast, Father, they would be able to reach a greater audience than they ever would have even imagined. And Lord, give them that ability, Lord, to know what is the next step. Lord, we don't want to be a people of imitation. Lord, we want to be a people of innovation and just creativity. Lord, you are just the one who is just supernaturally creative. God, let them have that ability just to know, okay, you know what? We're going to do this. Hasn't been done before. It doesn't matter. This is what God's saying. We're going to do it. Lord, give them that boldness and ability and just the clarity, even as a couple, just to be able to have the mind of Christ, the knowledge just knowledge that comes from you and strategy on how to proceed. We bless them right now. We bless the ministry, bless this radio endeavor, and everything that they're doing. Bless the people in the church. And thank you, God. I pray that you continue to bless them and prosper them and reward them, God, for all of their faith, their big faith, and their giving. God, we bless them in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for their lives. Thank you, Jesus.
I see this word, and as Randy was praying, maybe I keep seeing it, and it was bless, 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 bless. And as you're called to be a blessing, the Lord is also blessing you so much to continue to bless. And Lord, we ask for this blessing to continue flowing like a river, Lord, not stagnant like a lake, but like a river, God, with those rocks on the bottom, creating ripples, ripples of blessing in Jesus' name. Lord, we also pray for the many thousands that will hear these radio programs, that they, the ones that are ready to receive, we pray that it will fall in good soil, and that many will be saved, that many will hear your word and receive it with gladness, God, and that their lives will be transformed. We pray for an oil of flow that would be powerful on Steve's mouth and on Shelly. Lord, we pray that you would bring, Lord Jesus, that power that comes with your word, and it's effective and it's alive. And there's no criticism of anyone, just to tune in, and then the Holy Spirit will fall over them unto salvation, the salvation of many,
yes,
many,
yes,
people in Jesus' name. I might also see like a kid segment or of some sort, and they're hearing stories of the Bible, and they are so fun to listen to, and they are anointed, and children will begin to develop a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God and for the stories that were told from when Jesus was here on earth. And I thank you, God, for all so many things that you're going to do. Expand their territory, Lord, even in the midst of these diseases, Lord, your kingdom is extending even further, and we thank you, God, because we have seen your hand of power. Bind the enemy and the evil one to try to trap or discourage or try to trample, Lord, your word is not enough and it is not strong to stand. We pray that they will continue on and they will continue to expand your kingdom, and that your voice will be heard upon the people that have never heard your hope in Jesus' name. We thank you for this family, Lord. Let them be more like them in Jesus' name. Let the church continue to be encouraged to keep on keeping on, to keep on praying, and to keep on asking, and to keep on living according to your word in Jesus' mighty name.
Praise God, church. Wasn't that powerful? Wonderful to hear from Brother Randy and Sister Louie. We saw the kids there on the Facebook. And just wonderful things happening there. He also shared his father's miracle continues. You know, we prayed for his healing of cancer. He's completely healed of cancer. And just God is doing so many wonderful things in their neck of the woods as well. Well, get ready, church, because your pastor, Pastor Shelley, has a wonderful message now entitled Wisdom from a Wise Man's Mom. Take it away, Pastor Shelley.
Good morning, Redeemed Church. So glad you could join me today. This is Pastor Shelley. I just want to say welcome and happy Mother's Day. I am so sad that we can't be together today. This is one of my favorite Sundays in the whole year. But girls, we will be together soon. That's a promise. Yes, absolutely. Can't wait to see you and give hugs. And even if I can't hug you, I can't wait to see you. But happy Mother's Day to every mom. And I just want to say a happy Mother's Day to my mom today and to my mother-in-law, Bev. I'm just so grateful to have both of you in my life. And I'm so grateful for your prayer support and for always being there for me. Thank you both so much. And just so glad that everyone could join me today. I am going to be speaking, in case you didn't notice. I just wanted to thank you all for joining me, and just make sure that you reach out to all the mothers in your lives today and let them know how much that they mean to you. I'm so honored to be able to share with you today a message that the Lord has put on my heart. It's entitled, Wisdom from a Wise Man's Mom. In Proverbs 31, verse 1, it says, "The sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him." There are many different conclusions to who King Lemuel was, but after researching this week, I am inclined to think that it was King Solomon, the one who is attributed to writing Proverbs. One of the main reasons is the name of the king. Lemuel means dedicated to the Lord or belonging to God. When Solomon was born, it's recorded in 2 Samuel 12:24 that the Lord loved him and sent Nathan the prophet to tell his parents about it. I can tell you as a mom that I would not soon forget if the Lord came and told me that he loved my child. So Proverbs 31 is an oracle his, meaning Solomon, his mother taught him. And she begins by reminding him who he is. He's dedicated to the Lord, belonging to God, and loved by God. And we're going to be looking at the life of Bathsheba and Solomon today, and the wisdom from a wise man's mom that is still true for us today. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to come together, and I just pray a special blessing on all of the moms that are listening today. I pray, Father, that you would fill their hearts and their minds with your peace and your joy and your hope. I pray, Father, for each one of the kids that they have, Lord, that you would draw those kids to you. If they don't know you, that they would come to know you. And if they know you, that they would grow even stronger in relationship with you. And I pray, Lord, that there would be relationships mended and that hearts would be drawn back to their moms today. And I just pray for a special blessing over each one of them. And Lord, I just thank you for just touching this word today. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see the truth that you have placed in your word for us to set us free today. I truly believe you're going to set people free. And we just praise you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know most of you might be thinking what Lacey thought when I told her. She was asking me, "So, Mom, what are you going to talk about on Sunday?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to talk about Solomon and Bathsheba." And she's like, "Mom, Bathsheba? Really?" And that is really the attitude that I'd had, and the vision that I'd had of Bathsheba for most of my adult life was seeing her in kind of a negative light. And yet, the more I have researched her, the more I have seen, wow, what an incredible woman that she was. And we don't get to hear most of her story. We get to see David's side. But you can, in looking over the scriptures, see who she was in how other people viewed her and how her son, Solomon, spoke from his heart words that you could hear her saying to him. Pretty incredible. The first thing that I realized as I was looking through the scriptures that Bathsheba gave wisdom to Solomon was that you can leave the past behind you. And if anyone knew about past, it was Bathsheba. Her past held multiple reasons for her to be bitter and resentful. She was misused by a king, and we see that where David should have been out at war and he wasn't. She is out at night bathing, and when I researched that, it's not like our bathing today. This was actually a ceremonial bathing. Her monthly time had ended, and she was doing her ceremonial cleansing. And it says that she chose nighttime because that would be the least likely for people to be out and for her to be seen. She needed to be outside because it was a ceremonial cleansing, so it needed to be done outside the home. And in the privacy of her home, she was basically, yeah, we'll just say it. She was not treated well by David. And so one of the researchers that I was looking at, it was a Jewish commentator, and he was saying that We know that David was the one who was guilty, because that's who the Lord addressed when he talked to Nathan. So she's misused by a king. She's brought to him, and in the commentaries I read, it said that she would not have had the right to say no. She had been summoned. She would have to have gone. She was misused by a king, and then after she's misused by a king, she becomes pregnant by him. Another basic disgrace and something held against her. And then she loses her first husband in battle. And we know that that was arranged by King David again. And then after she's lost her husband and she's pregnant, then the king comes to her and asks her to marry him. Well, basically, he just brought her to him and married her. And then we see that because of what happened between them, the Lord tells Nathan the prophet. And so the prophet comes in and speaks to David in front of everyone. And so here is this private thing that happened to her is now made public. Again, none of these things were her fault. And yet her life was tainted because of what had happened and what David had chose to do. So it's made public knowledge. And then after that, we see that she loses her first child. Wow. I mean, if anyone had a right to be bitter and resentful, it was definitely Bathsheba. But that's not what we see in her life and in her character. A few short verses later, you see her decision to move forward and to forgive David. After he repents with Nathan, we see a change in her after they lose their first son. He comes to her and it says that he was able to comfort her. And the wording there is a loving, tender comfort. It was something that she would have had to have accepted from him. And so again, we see this incredible ability in her to not only forgive, but to be able to receive love from him. She chose to move forward in life. She didn't let her past keep her bound. And then it says that David, throughout the rest of the scriptures in 2 Samuel and then into 1 Kings, you see that David loved her and was committed to her until he died. His love for her was very strong. She bore him the most kids. They had 5 sons together. It's the most of any of David's wives. So we see there was a definite special connection between them. And sons in those days were a blessing from the Lord. And so we see that not only was she restored with David, but she was also restored in the Lord's eyes. It was almost as if he was saying, it's okay, I have approved you, I know it wasn't your fault, and you're still of worth to me. Leaving her past behind was an important lesson that she would teach her young son. He would face many obstacles because of his past, and yet overcome them and move forward. So often we think about, you know, these stories and we see them in pieces, and yet Solomon would have grown up underneath the cloud of people, everyone in the palace, probably a lot of the people in the kingdom as word got around. People would have known this was Uriah's wife that David basically took from him. And then he was the son of that relationship. And so there was a lot of talking, a lot of gossiping. It was one commentator said it would have been a very rough go for Bathsheba and all of her children because they were, in most people's eyes, tainted. People in his family, as well as people in the kingdom, knew he was a result of a marriage that began in sin. And not only did Bathsheba have to endure the stares and the gossip, but so did Solomon. But he chose to move forward as well. And we see that as he steps forward and receives from his dad the kingdom, even though his older brother had already been announced to be king. The second thing that we see that Bathsheba gives to Solomon as wisdom is your value isn't determined by what has happened to you. So often we look at ourselves as we would merchandise. If it's broken, used, defective, then its value goes down or it becomes worthless. This is not how we should value ourselves or see our worth. We can see this in Bathsheba's life. After everything she went through, it would be natural for her to see herself as having less value or being worthless. But we see through the scriptures that that is not how people saw her. And oftentimes when someone sees themselves as not having value, they don't really care about what happens to their life. They just, whatever, it doesn't matter. And yet we see that the people in her life saw her as a person of value. That means she had to have seen herself as a person of value. She was loved by a king till the day he died. Wow, that's amazing. He saw value in her. He saw worth in her. A prophet approached her to ally with him for her and her son. Nathan came to him, or to her, Nathan the prophet did, and talked to her and told her about what David's older son was planning to do and had already announced that he was going to be the next king. And he allied with Bathsheba. He saw something in her of worth that he knew he could count on her. Her stepson, even though he comes to her to try to manipulate Solomon, he saw her as value. He saw her as someone he could go to possibly have hope for his future. And then her son, Solomon, held her in great respect and reverence. It says that when she entered into his throne room, he bowed down to her in reverence and respect and honored her. He even had a throne brought in for her to sit on. So he saw her as someone of value and respectability. Despite the scars of the past, Bathsheba was a woman that the men in her life valued and respected. As a young adult, Solomon again uses the wisdom he sees in his mother and applies it to his life. His value was in question again by people because of his parents. He was promised the kingdom, but he was not in the birth order to be the next king. He had older brothers as well as officials that did not see him as being valued enough to inherit the kingdom. But like Bathsheba, Solomon was valued by those who mattered most. We see that not only did Nathan the prophet come, but we see that to be very begin with is that Solomon was loved by God. In 2 Samuel 12:24, it says that the Lord loved Solomon so much that he sent Nathan the prophet to tell his parents that he loved him. He was made king of Israel after David. David made him the king, even though everyone else thought that the birth order should go to a different son. David loved him and made him king. He saw in Solomon the wisdom that would be needed to run the kingdom. He was established by God after displaying his wisdom to the people. When the two prostitutes came to him and shared the story about the one son that had died and the one baby that was still alive, and he gives forth this decree, and people are astounded at his wisdom of how did he come up with that to be able to find out who the real mom was. And after that point, people were in awe of him. He kept friendship with his dad's friends. Not only did, a lot of times the king's friends from other kingdoms would still be allies, but because of a decision the son would make, they would lose that alliance. Not with David. It says that his father's friends were impressed by him and stayed friends with him, giving praise to his dad because of the son that Solomon was to David. Then the Lord appeared to him twice in his lifetime. He was sought after by other leaders of other countries. It says that they came from all over the world to sit and to hear him. So he had value, and it wasn't determined by what had happened to him. Those things were in the past, and he was able to leave the past behind him, and he realized his value wasn't in what happened in the past. His value was in who he was and who God saw him to be. And the third thing is the one that Solomon really should have paid attention to the most. And that is, you should never forget who you are. If there's one weapon that the enemy uses the most and is the most successful at, is getting people to forget who they truly are. In Proverbs 31, it's most likely, as I shared before, written by Solomon, who was quoting his mother Bathsheba. And in the opening lines, the name of the king is Lemuel. As I said before, dedicated by God or belonging to God. Bathsheba calls him that name as a reminder. She's saying the king who belongs to God was loved by God from birth, a man dedicated by God. She's a smart mom. We see the name she used is a name he himself uses as he writes down her oracle or her instructions. It's almost like she's coming in the back door and she's saying, hey, kid, don't forget who you are. Even though you have risen to this place and you have this wisdom and all of these things, remember who you are. First and foremost, you are dedicated to God, you're belonging to God, and you are loved by God. Bathsheba realized the importance of not forgetting who you are as a king. She knew firsthand the temptations that can come to a king if they don't remember who they are. They are more likely to make mistakes. I imagine that she was thinking of David in this context because that's what got her into trouble in the first place. David forgot who he was. Scripture tells us that he was a king, and at that specific time, it is recorded that it was a time when kings went to war, but David stayed home. He forgot who he was, and she knew the importance of making sure that Solomon remembered who he was. In the next 9 verses in Proverbs 31, she goes into detail of who Solomon is or should be. He should not spend his strength on women or the desires of this world. He should not drink wine or beer. He should speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. He should judge fairly, and he should defend the poor and the needy. Solomon was the wisest man to ever live, and yet for all his wisdom, he missed the mark. He failed to remember what he was taught as a child, that you can leave the past behind you. Your value isn't determined by what has happened to you, and you should never forget who you are. He either forgot or chose not to live by the wisdom from his mother's life, and in the end, he turned his heart away from the Lord, and he forgot who he was. Bathsheba's wisdom is still available for us today. Her life and her words are instructions that the Lord valued so much that he made sure that they were recorded in the Bible for us to read. Even though her son did not continue to follow her words of wisdom, his life is a reminder of what can happen when we don't. You can have everything that life can offer, and your whole life statement can be wrapped up in one verse that Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 1:2. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. How sad, how truly sad that this is how Solomon felt. He gained the whole world, but he lost his soul. As we celebrate Mother's Day today, let's stop and let's think about the wisdom of a wise man's mom. You can leave the past behind you. I don't know how many people I have talked to in my lifetime that can't leave the past behind them. It's almost like they're dragging a cart behind them that's filled with suitcases. And each suitcase is a memory that weighs them down. And I'm sitting across the table from them most of the time thinking, my goodness, just let go of the cart. And then you'll be able to move forward. You'll be able to run again. But for whatever reason, they can't let go of the past. It's got a hold on them. And a lot of times they have a right to feel like that, you know, they're owed something because the things that have happened in their lives are painful, sometimes horrific things. And yet if we don't let go of our past, it's going to affect our future. We're not going to be able to reach the place that God wants us to reach. We're not going to be able to achieve all that God wants us to achieve. And if you look in Bathsheba's life, she had a lot of terrible things happen in her life, especially toward the beginning. And yet we see that she chooses to let go. Was it easy? No, absolutely not. I can't even imagine how hard it was to forgive. Even though David was the king, even though he was good looking, he still betrayed her. He used her. And yet she was able to forgive him. And then we see love was established between them. That's miraculous. And truly, all that started with her decision to forgive and to move forward. I want to say to you today, you can leave the past behind you. Let go. Forgive. Choose to move forward. She did those things and she was elevated. She became queen. And when Solomon became king, she became the queen mother, which in those times in that part of the world made her even higher in elevation than Solomon's first wife. She was greatly esteemed, not only by Solomon, but by the whole country at that time. Because she chose to forgive, she was able to reach the place where God wanted her to reach. She was still the voice in Solomon's ear for those beginning years of his life as he sat on the throne. She was still able to speak wisdom to him. She was still able to impart to him. And that's the thing a lot of times we forget is that we look at it and we say, well, it's just me that it's hurting. But it's not just you. There are others that the Lord wants to reach through you. And if you are holding on to your past, you're not going to be able to do that. You're not going to be able to help them get through the things that they need to get through because you're still walking through it yourself. So today I would like to say, wisdom from a wise man's mom, you can leave your past behind you. Number two, your value isn't determined by what has happened to you. You are a person of value. So oftentimes the things that even Bathsheba went through, being used by the king, losing her son, losing her first husband, having everyone know about what happened, it's hard. It's like scars that people get. And they're scars that tend to hurt us. And we look at those scars and somehow it changes how we even view ourselves. We look at it and we say, even if we're not the actual source of why it happened, we begin to wonder, what did I do? I must be deficient in some way. There must be something lacking in me that makes people feel like they can do this to me. And you start beginning to think that, and then you start beginning to feel that. And then what happens is you begin to assume that everyone's going to treat you that way, that no one's going to see you as having worth or value. But that is so far from the truth. Your Heavenly Father loves you. And maybe he didn't show up with a prophet to your parents to tell you that you're loved by him, but he gave you a Bible. And in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world." You are part of that world. You could put your name in there. "For God so loved Shelley that he sent his one and only son." That is incredible love. You are loved today. You are loved. And because you're loved by the King of Kings, you have value. It does not depend on what has happened to you that makes you worthy or having value. Absolutely not. It depends on whose you are. And as a Christian, you are the king's daughter or the king's son. So remember, your value is not determined by what has happened to you. Number three, you should never forget who you are. As I was researching this, I got so excited. Who are we? There's a whole bunch of who you are in the Bible. We're redeemed, we're loved, we're joint heirs with Jesus. But in Revelations 1:6, it says this, "We are kings and priests unto God." And so often we think about the priest parts, but we don't think about the kings. And for us girls, it's queens. We'll just put that in there. Kings and priests unto God. You know what that means? That means that Bathsheba's words are true for us, just as they were true for her son. We are kings dedicated to God, loved by God, belonging to God. That's who we are. So when you read Proverbs 31, you can see yourself in there as a king or priest unto the Lord. You can put, as she's talking to O King Lemuel, you can put your name in there and say, "O King Shelley," or "Queen Shelley," dedicated to God, loved by God, belonging to God. That is who we are. As children of God, we are joint heirs with Jesus. We are kings. And as kings, what does that mean? It means the same things that nine verses that she told Solomon about that he should be, those apply to us as well today. So what does that mean? We should not spend our strength on the lusts of this world. For David, for Solomon, it was women. But maybe that's not for you. Maybe there's other lusts that are things that you look at that you put above God. We do not want to spend our strength on those. Just stop today. Don't go there anymore. Don't let your flesh dictate to you what you have to do. Second, it says we should not drink wine or beer. And there's a reason why she told him that. She continued on and she said, unless you drink and forget what the law or the Bible decrees. That's what happens when you drink. I know people say, oh, it's just one. It doesn't change anything. Absolutely not true. Came from a family where there was drinking, and after one beer, you could see a difference in people. I've been with other people before at restaurants, and they'll just get one little glass of wine. But after about three or four sips, they're talking nonstop like they've never talked before. It changes you. There's a reason why the world calls it a spirit. It changes who you are when you drink it. So don't drink it. Why? So you don't forget what the law or the Bible decrees. Because when you drink, you aren't thinking about scripture. You're not thinking about what you should or shouldn't do, because your brain becomes slushy. Trust me, I've seen it. And then third, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. I think this was on Bathsheba's heart because this is what she needed. She needed someone to speak up for her when she couldn't speak for herself. And in her life, it came through the prophet Nathan. We're priests and kings. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Standing up, that can even be in the political realm. Maybe God's called you to be a voice, to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Maybe it means that you know of a situation where it's the wrong thing happening and you need to stand up for what's right. Maybe it's just standing up to a family member and speaking up for what is right. But that's what she gave, the wisdom. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Judge fairly. Wow. Judge lest you not be judged, right? That's what Jesus said. And when she's saying judge fairly, it means we can't just look at the outward of people. I was thinking about this when I looked at the life of Bathsheba in the past. I judged unfairly. I went off the fact, hey, you know, she was trying to seduce David. She's out on her porch at night, bathing. Goodness, girl, get in the house, right? And yet she was just following the rabbinical order. She was doing what she was supposed to do, what had been commanded in the word for her to do as a cleansing, a washing. And I had always pictured her as being the guilty one, when in fact, when you really truly read the scriptures, as the one commentator said, the one that the Lord called on the carpet with Nathan was David. And what did Nathan compare Bathsheba to in that parable that he gave to David? He compared her to a ewe lamb. No way that a lamb can defend itself. They're defenseless. That's why they require so much care to be watched over, because they can't defend themselves. And that's what Nathan was saying, was that she was not able to defend herself. I didn't judge fairly because I was looking on the outside of things from a perspective that didn't have all of the information. How often do we judge unfairly to those in our lives when we don't have all the information? We don't see the big picture. So be careful. Judge fairly. Don't just take it by what you see on the outside. Make sure you know the whole story and the whole picture. And the last, defend the poor and the needy. Wow. She was an incredibly wise woman. She knew that in the days and weeks to come, that Solomon's wisdom was going to gain him respect and honor. But she also knew as a king that wealth could be a way to pull him aside. And she was reminding him, don't forget those that are beneath you. Don't forget the poor and the needy. Words of wisdom from a mom that God included in the Bible for us so that, unlike her son, our view of life wouldn't be meaningless, but it would be meaningful. We can experience all that God has for us if we choose not to just listen to her words, but to live by them. I can't imagine as a mom and I hope she wasn't around to hear it. I can't imagine as a mom to have one of my kids, after everything that I had imparted in them about the Lord, to have their statement be meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. That's sad. It's so sad. And he was the wisest person ever to have lived. But you see, wisdom isn't the only thing that we have to have in our lives. The most important thing is relationship. And that's what I feel that Bathsheba had. She had a relationship with the God of Israel. So she was able to forgive. She was able to move forward. And she always remembered who she was as a daughter of Abraham. And today I pray the same for you, that you wouldn't look at your life and think everything is meaningless and see despair and no rest, no peace, no joy, no hope. As you read Ecclesiastes, you see all of those things in Solomon's life. But I pray today that your life becomes meaningful, that you can leave your past behind you today and move forward. I pray that you can see that you are valued and that it's not because of what's happened to you, but it's because of whose you are, and that you should never forget who you are. You are a priest and a king unto God. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this word today, and I pray, Lord, that each person who listens, Father, that you would just touch their heart and their mind. Maybe one of these points jumped out at them. Maybe they haven't felt like they had any value, that nobody really cared about them. Maybe they felt like they're so damaged and so many things have happened to them in their life. How could they possibly have something that someone would want to hear? I pray today, Lord, that you would show them that they are valued, that they are valued by you, that you love them. And I pray, Father, that as they begin to see their value, that they would move forth in their life and take the steps, Lord, to begin to see themselves as a valued person and then act like a valued person, and that they would look for ways to help others to find their value. Maybe today you can't leave the past behind, but there's so many things that you just want to hold on to. And you're probably saying right now, Shelly, you don't understand. You don't know. You don't know what I've been through. You're right, I don't. But your Heavenly Father does. And today he's saying, today is the day. Let go, my daughter. Let go. And let's move forward into all of the things, the wonderful things that I have for you. And maybe you're the one who just doesn't know who you are. Well, I'm telling you today, as a child of God, that you are a king and a priest unto God. And so rise up today. You don't have to be bound and let your strength go to the lust of this world. You don't have to have beer or wine to make you feel like you can relax or forget. But you can speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. You can choose to be a person who judges fairly and not just thinking you know because you know a couple of details. And you can defend the poor and the needy as the Lord shows you what to do. You can be who you were created to be. You can be all that God wants you to be. And Lord, I just praise you and I thank you for just touching every mom today. Bless them, encourage them, strengthen them, and may they see who you see them as today. Lord, I just praise you and I thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Wisdom from a wise man's mom. Wow, pretty incredible lady, huh? I hope you enjoyed this sermon as much as I enjoyed researching it. Have a blessed Mother's Day to my mom, to Bev, and to all my special, special friends. I can't wait to see you again. You are all so dear to my heart. I pray for you daily. And let's be believing that we can see each other soon. Amen. Have a blessed rest of your Sunday.